interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a Tuesday, May 14 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next 2 hours, we're taking you home on 1037 The Game. And we do have 2 hours. Locked inside of the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, will begin on the bouncing ping pong balls, where the Pelicans fit in, and how this could be the biggest day in Pelicans franchise history, if for no other reason than their last humongous day. 7 years ago, when they drafted Anthony Davis, they were, well, still the Hornets. We'll talk NBA to lead off, and going split screen, so to speak, LSU baseball, where they might fit in to next week's SEC tournament in Hoover. So split screen to lead off NBA, no, not the playoffs, the draft lottery later tonight, and LSU baseball. You want to jump in? We got time. 706-0111. Let's start in the association, and I'll go down the list, at least for the top three, in terms of percentage odds of landing the number one overall pick. And what's interesting, something to keep in mind, for the first time, well, ever, tonight's lottery will determine the first four picks. Usually it's the top three, the draft lottery. Tonight at Chicago, 7:30 p.m. Central Time on the mothership, is going to determine the top four. And the New York Knickerbockers have the best chance at landing the number one overall pick. Well, better than that, they are guaranteed to be in the top five. Assured that because of their horrible, and I mean downright crappy, 2018-19 season. But what's interesting about the Knicks, they've got a 14% chance of the number one pick, 40.2% chance of a top three pick. It's actually the same numbers as Cleveland behind them at second, Phoenix at third. But they are locked into a top five overall pick. What's interesting about the Knicks tonight is that their pick is imminently tradable. For a couple of reasons. Don't forget these. When the ping pong balls are bouncing and when Pat Ewing is getting huge white eyes looking at that envelope and wondering if it's got his Knicks last. This pick is imminently tradable because the Knicks have cap space for two max players in free agency. And also because they've got multiple future first rounders from the deal they did with Dallas this season. Shipping Kristaps Porzingis to the Big D, that brought back multiple future first-rounders. And so think about it this way. Already, the Knicks have done what David Griffin and the Pels might be trying to do. They got rid of their big gun, and they lined up a bunch of future picks. But therein lies maybe a potential difference. I think David Griffin, is savvy enough to keep the Pels relevant and in the conversation right now. And a lot of people believe. In fact, Shams Charania of Stadium is one of them. I'm going to let you hear from him in a moment. A lot of people believe if the Knicks do lock down the number one overall pick tonight, you might see an announced trade for Anthony Davis within the coming week or two. You might not even have to wait until the eve or the hour before the actual NBA draft. In fact, I'll let you hear from our friend. This is Shams Charania from Stadium.
The Knicks getting that number one overall pick impacts the Anthony Davis potential trade talks. I'm told if the Knicks get that number one overall pick, they would then shift their focus toward a potential deal for Anthony Davis in Zion Williamson with the number one overall pick and potentially Kevin Knox, you know, their prized rookie who had a stellar campaign, really started to develop over the course of the season. They could pair both of those guys in a trade for Anthony Davis, and there might not be another team out there that has a better package than the Knicks if they were able to get that number one overall pick.
Okay, then. Drew Holiday? Maybe even a former Raging Cajun? Elfrid Payton? Kevin Knox? And Zion Williamson? Go on, I'm listening. that is one hell of a package. I don't know if it's quite what Boston may have, but you know, one thing you're going to notice when you look at the top 14 teams that are in it for a potential lottery pick, Boston ain't one of them. And so the Knicks might just get their ammunition needed tonight to make the best deal possible in a Godfather deal situation for David Griffin to give them Anthony Davis. Of course, there's a way that maybe tonight's events lead toward AD staying in New Orleans. I'll get there in a moment. But that's the situation for New York. Number two in line for the Iron Throne, boom, Game of Thrones reference, is the Cleveland Cavs. And they've got an opportunity to land their fifth number one overall pick since 2003. Stupefying when you consider it, isn't it? Fifth since they drafted LeBron James first overall in 2003. And wouldn't that be a nice opening present? Day two of the job for John Beilein, former Michigan Wolverines head coach. At number three overall, at least in line in terms of the pecking order, it's the Phoenix Suns. And out of everyone that's in the potential draft lottery, at least to get into the top 3 to 5 in particular, Phoenix could be a factor soonest in the association. And when I say factor, you can interpret that to contender adjacent. But consider the young lineup they've got. If they could add a Ja Morant to that, RJ Barrett, look out. Phoenix, who also has a new head coach, former Hornets head coach Monty Williams, they might be cooking with gas down there in the land of the sun. So you've got New York, Cleveland, Phoenix, 1, 2, 3 in line. You keep going down the ladder, not too much, and you're going to land on the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pels have a 6% chance of landing the number one overall pick, 19% chance of being in the top three, 26.2% chance, that's marathon distance right there, of being a top five pick. What's interesting about the Pelicans, if somehow their long odds hit, if they're 1 in basically, what, 16 and some change, if they're 1 in 16.5 basis chance of landing the number overall pick lands, and they could draft Zion Williamson, then they don't have to trade with anybody if they don't want to. Then maybe they've got an enticing package to show Anthony Davis, are you sure you don't at least want to serve out the final year of your contract? You don't have to stay long term. You sure you don't want to nibble? You, Zion Williamson, Drew Holiday, that's not a core that you're interested in building off of? So I find it incredibly interesting the number of different ways that this thing can turn. So again, the numbers, Pels fans, 6% chance of getting the number one overall pick, 19% of a top three pick, 26.2% of a top five pick. I'll take either Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, or RJ Barrett. I don't know if any of those three gets AD to consider staying, but I think Zion just might. All right, I promised you a split screen. Let me get to a little LSU baseball. When might they play next week in the SEC tournament? It's a good question. Here's what we know. Courtesy of our buddy James Moran, Tiger Rag Magazine, as of this moment, LSU is the number 6 seed in the SEC. They play at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday. If LSU passes up Ole Miss for the number 5 seed, they play the late game next Tuesday. LSU could fall to number 7 or 8 if A&M and or Auburn pass them. The bottom line, Moran continued on these scenarios, Tigers in all likelihood are going to have to survive a single elimination opener Tuesday in Hoover. So get thinking along those lines a little bit. And don't forget, LSU, UNO playing a midweek game tonight. Your first pitch is 6:30. Clint and I are bringing you right up until the pregame show at 6 o'clock. And we're locked and loaded with great guests all show long. Brendan Sir of Coaching U will be with us on the other side of this break. He's been on the program before, a former LSU assistant and a longtime assistant with the Detroit Basketball Pistons under Chuck Daly. What are those war rooms like? How much are you really talking trade? Or is it all really just about sitting, waiting for the ping pong balls to bounce on a night like tonight in Chicago? So Brendan Sir on the other side of this break. Shea Dixon, 5 o'clock until 5:30. I make one promise in that interview. Okay, two. We're going to be recruiting heavy, and we're going to touch on one local prospect you have not heard Shea and I discussed before. So make sure you buckle up. Shea Dixon of Go 24/7 from 5 until 5:30. One other thing I'll share before we hit our first break. Got a cool announcement that we'll make at about 4:45. Make sure that you're in your vehicle. You got the radio, the mobile app streaming for that one. At 4:45, something really cool that we're going to kick your way. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Get in on the conversation. Call on the game hotline. 706-0111. 706-0111.
Here we go, back in the saddle. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you on 103.7 The Game. We're fired up for the NBA Draft Lottery. Could be a pivotal, defining night to begin the David Griffin era in New Orleans. To discuss that and more, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. It is our pleasure to welcome back Coach Brendan Sir. You can follow his work, coachingulive.com. Coach, welcome to the program. How are you?
It's great to be with you again. Thank you.
So if your team is not in the playoffs and you work in the NBA, what is tonight like for you?
Well, it depends where you are. If you're in the bottom four teams that has a 14% chance of winning, you're excited as hell. If not, you're probably going to be roughly in the same spot barring some incredible upset. It wasn't there a whole lot, so I don't have a lot of experience in it. But it's a make or break thing. It can change your franchise's history. You know, it's that type of thing. And for, you know, if you get lucky, you get like an Anthony Davis someday, it can change your program. But it's a great night for the kids. You know, when I had Ben Simmons at LSU, it was a great night for him and his family.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. The draft itself isn't until June 20th. And so how much, again, right. You don't have a lot of experience with this. I know that you were with programs that are winning a lot of games. But if you do land that type of pick, right, top four tonight, how quickly do potential trade discussions really occur, knowing that you've got the better part of 5 weeks until the draft?
They're probably not going to occur because you want one of these kids. You know, when you have the first pick, you know, I've heard people saying, oh, if the Knicks get, you know, him and Zion Williamson, they'll trade him for Anthony Davis. And you can't trade Zion Williamson, in my opinion. You just can't. The kid could be, you know, just an incredible franchise player. So, I don't think you can take a chance of that. So many of these kids at that spot, you know, unless you get a three like last year, move into a five, you know, with Trae Young, you know, and, you know, the kid from the Mavs, you know, that was an interesting trade, you know. But other than that, I don't think you're going to see that kind of movement.
So knowing that Anthony Davis has a ceiling of being, I don't know, Coach, maybe a top 2 to 3 player in the league when he's right, because he's 6 years in, you don't pull the trigger on that type of deal just because Zion has that much further left in his career?
No, more because AD has a year left on his contract, and if you trade for him and then the following year he goes to Los Angeles to the Lakers, then you just wasted a game-changing, life-changing pick. So, you know, that's why I wouldn't do it. For AD's talent-wise, absolutely, but you just can't do it otherwise.
Talking NBA draft lottery, and we're going to get to the playoffs in a moment with Brendan Sir on 103.7 The Game. Zion Williamson aside, one of my favorite players in this draft is Ja Morant. What did you see out of the young man? And again, say what you want about the level of competition. I thought he was spectacular. What's your scouting report?
Well, I think he's one of those guys that could develop into an all-pro player. He can do it at both ends of the court. He's quick in the open court. He's got incredible leaping ability. His body and game are made for the NBA. What he lacks in competition and experience, since high school, he keeps getting better every year, and that's what I like about him. So, you know, on paper, you know, you say he's the second best player in the draft based on need. R.J. Barrett, you know, also in that discussion, I think of the two players, and it depends on who you're picking. You know, this is a guy that, you know, Ja is a guy that's a lead guard. you know, and you know they're so critical to a team. You get a guy like him, the Westbrooks of the world, guys like that, they change your franchise. So I actually believe in the modern NBA game, it's the most critical point and part of a team is that lead guard.
I love picking the brain of people like yourself who understand the association and know a lot of people within it about the new Pels executive VP of basketball operations. What do you know about David Griffin, and why would you say, hey, this is a home run for that franchise?
No, it's not a home run. I don't know. I'm a baseball guy a little bit, but it's a freaking grand slam. Like every time at the plate, David's one of the best executives in the league. He's a very humble guy. Has great humility, but smart as hell, and he knows how to build a team. He knows how to lead people. He's selfless, and he's a winner. And so I think what you're going to see in his organization, he's also an incredibly intelligent guy, so he thinks out of the box. They hired the best medical person in the league, you know, from the Phoenix Suns, his old team, and to bring them to the Pels, which was something that was really needed because injuries, you know, it really hampered Alvin this year, you know, having so many players out. And when, if you don't have these bodies ready, you know, so they went out and got themselves one of the premier medical people in the business. And I, having been in the NBA for 30 years, I think it's one of the most crucial spots, sometimes more so than coaching.
It's a heck of a point. And, Coach, before we get to these NBA playoffs, I do want to get your finals pick. I have to ask, what in the world is going on with the Los Angeles Lakers? And are they going to have some kind of shakeup, maybe with ownership, to get out of whatever type of destructive pattern they seem to be in?
Well, they will not have a shakeup in ownership. That's the one thing I can tell you. It's a family-owned business. And so you don't shake that up, no. But I've been with the Knicks when we were struggling, and kind of feel good about what we did with the Knicks compared to what's going on with them. So, it's when it starts coming back to the people in the front office or ownership, that's not good. And not that they're not good people, but you're judged by sometimes your moves. And Magic bailing on them before the last game was not a nice look for someone that's a Magic's dear friend, but I didn't approve of what he did. I don't care what happened. You know, you just don't do that. If you're a Laker for life, you just don't walk away like that. And, and he probably has thought about it since and said, why did I do that? But, they're under the gun, and they have some very good young talent, but the key to their team is LeBron and his mental state and how he's going to do and then what they do this offseason. So that's what they're going to be judged by. Now, it can be fixed very quick with an incredible player, or it could be a really bad situation. But they have very good young players.
Spending another moment or two with Brendan Sir, longtime NBA assistant, spent a couple of years in Baton Rouge as an LSU basketball assistant as well. Milwaukee and Golden State are the top seeds in their respective conferences. Do you like them to go through to the finals?
I do. I'm a big home court person, and Golden State, I think, went through its toughest thing that they had to go through right now going against Houston. For them to come through. Now, the only thing that would hurt them, of course, is if Durant can't play or someone else gets hurt. You know, but barring health, and if they can get Durant back, I think they have a heck of a shot to get to the finals. And I love Milwaukee. I've loved them all year. I love them because they got the one kid that's an incredible star. You know, I love Giannis, but I think they're really well coached. I think Budenholzer has been just magnificent. I love their style of play, the way they play together. And they have home court for the entire playoffs. So don't be surprised if they get out of the finals and win the whole thing.
Would you say that Milwaukee or Toronto has a better chance of actually dethroning Golden State if they get to the next level?
Yeah, Milwaukee, I think, Milwaukee does, I believe. I really do. I think Milwaukee has a better chance.
Before we let you go, what have you made of these playoffs so far, the way that it ended, especially with Houston, and then what I would describe as a pretty incredible rise? The Portland Trailblazers swept out by the Pels last year. Look at him now.
Yeah, no, great job. Great job by Terry Stotts. But those two guards, man, they're monsters. And even with Dane having a rough Sunday, CJ is just an incredible player. And so they have so many weapons offensively. They have a nice team. You know, they play as a team. And I think Terry's done a great job. They have great coaching staff. And I think it's been a real tribute to them and their organization. Staying with them last year when they got swept by the Pels, to stay with the coaching staff, who is outstanding, and then for those guys to play well this year, I think is a real tribute to them. And remember, their starting center is out for the playoffs, and that is another thing. You know, losing him for the playoffs, and they had a great acquisition picking up Enos Kanter. So kudos to them, and I think they're a hell of a team. And I think they deserve it. And Toronto, I tell you, you know, I just can't believe after not being able to play last year, you know, how good and how dominant he has been this year. And that's all I got to say is he, because he is the most dominant. Him and Giannis are the most dominant players in the playoffs right now. The shot he made on Sunday was incredible. And I just think right now, you know, he's just taken over. As far as from a standpoint, and wherever he goes as a free agent, whether he stays in Toronto, whether he goes to the Clippers, it is going to be some acquisition for someone.
Big Kawhi Leonard fan here. Coach, I can't tell you how much I enjoy following you. It's been a thrill to have you back on the program. Thank you.
I'd love to check. Thank you so much.
Brendan, sir, I love that. And maybe my favorite part, I really don't know how tonight feels all that much. We weren't in a position with the Detroit Basketball Pistons in the late 80s, early 90s to draft this highly. It's kind of like what we got from Mondo Duplantis yesterday. I don't often celebrate with my brother because, well, this is just kind of what we do. We don't need a pat on the back about it. We're coming back in. Going to switch it over to football. Got your sink or swim question of the day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Some very brief baseball updates because we know you love the Astros, the Tigers, and then we're getting back to the football. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in, exploring all of our sports on 103.7 The Game. We'd love to hear from you. Between now and 5 o'clock, wide open until Shea Dixon joins us on the other side of the hour break. The number to play, 706-0111. And to your baseball updates, LSU playing tonight against UNO, final midweek game of the year. Which is great news because we don't have to have the discussion about whether or not midweek games matter for like another, I don't know, 8 months. I'll take that respite. It's going to be Devin Fontenot, sophomore righty on the mound for LSU tonight. Cortland Ramirez, a freshman righty for UNO. First pitch is at 6:30, and it's LSU versus the Privateers from the box. Second baseball update to dispatch. The Astros won their sixth straight last night, beat Detroit 8-1 in Comerica. Game 2 is tonight at 6:10. This will be on our sister station, The Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. Wade Miley versus Ryan Carpenter, a couple of lefties on the mound. And Clint, how about this? The first Cy Young poll of the season came out. And in the AL, JV, Justin Verlander, the leading vote getter so far, 32 of a possible 46 first place votes. Garrett Cole, baby, also receiving votes. There are your baseball updates. Now we got to get to a football question. Is it too early to ask this question? Hell yeah, it is. Is that going to stop me? Not even close.
Exciting and new.
I've got all summer long, and I'm talking media days, Sun Belt, SEC. I've got fall camp. I've got just about until Labor Day to dive into specific programs and franchises. But today we're going real big picture. Your sink or swim question of the day. Which event is most likely this football season? You get three options. One, Saints win the Super Bowl. Two, LSU wins the SEC. Three, Cajuns win the Sun Belt Conference. Call us up. Let us know. We've got time. 706-0111. Clint, lead us off.
I'm going with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns winning the Sun Belt. Ben, the conference just feels a lot more wide open now with the head coaches at App State and Troy. You got new head coaches over there. It's not knocking you to see the programs. It's going to be tough to have a program kind of sustain it after like year one of a new head coach. And the fact that it's year two for Billy Napier, a lot of talent's coming back. I think there's a lot of hype around this team. You were in the conference title game last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they're back in it this year.
Can the Cajuns take literally just that one next step? Don't just get there, knock the door down. They absolutely can. The thing that worries me, and each of these teams have several of these, but the biggest thing that worries me about UL is who is the quarterback and is that individual good enough to lead them to this height? Now, we believe the answer to that question is Levi Lewis. But what we'll find out during the course of the regular season, is Levi just the best candidate for the job? Is he the best that's on campus now? Or, again, is he Sun Belt Conference winning level good? He'll have the chance to make his case and prove that this season. That's my biggest reservation about UL. Billy Napier has said on this program time and again, the defense for the Vermilion and White will be the most improved unit. And I get the joke that some of you want to tell, well, it would have to be, nowhere to go but up. Yeah, I get it. But year two under Ron Roberts, they're going to be better. They have the best running back room in the Sun Belt. One of the best, if not the best, at the Group of Five level. I expect the Cajuns to win a lot of football games this season. It's actually hardest to say LSU wins the SEC. The ironic thing there, LSU might be the most improved team of any of the three on this list. Saints won, what, freaking 13 games in the NFL regular season last year? It's hard to get a lot better than that. Cajuns went to the Sun Belt Conference title game. They just have to take a little baby step forward, right? The thing with LSU, quarterback returning, Joe Brady infused, a whole lot of defensive talent back in as well. LSU on paper probably makes the best claim of any of these three options. But you know what their biggest issue is. They play not only in the same conference, but the same division as Alabama football. So to vote for LSU winning the SEC, you have to vote for LSU doing something they have not done since November of 2011. And right now, that needs to be seen to be believed. Which leads me to my answer. The Saints win the Super Bowl. At this very early, middle of May junction, you're damn right. That's where I'm putting my chips. The Saints winning the Super Bowl. We know they have one of the top 2 to 3 talent rosters in the NFL. If they could find a way to manage Drew Brees earlier in the season and sustain him later, my answer is the Saints winning the Super Bowl. But I got news for you, and here's part of the reason I asked this question. It's not just a participation trophy. I didn't ask this just so I could include all three. All three of these are absolutely possible between the first weekend in December and the first Sunday in February. My off-the-cuff initial reaction, way early, I'm going to tell you the most likely is the Saints winning the Super Bowl. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, thank you for waiting. You agree with me, you agree with Clint, or you got your own take?
Well, you were sitting on my brain again. It's a toss-up between LSU and New Orleans, simply because, and I'll give the slight edge to New Orleans, because the Saints are coming in this season, they pissed off. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it without using an expletive, because they just pissed. I mean, this defense is going to be hungry. The offense is going to be, I think, better without a couple of pieces that they let go, aside from the center. I think that's the only part they're going to lack, but the Saints are going to come into this season with hellfire and brimstone.
And if you look at this thing from a real wide lens, think about the way the last two postseasons have ended. This has been a franchise on the cusp of getting to the top of the mountain for the last two seasons. I think they've got an excellent chance of doing it this year, and they better do it soon before Drewby runs out of gas. Thank you, Frank.
Too easy, Ben.
It's like stealing, Frank. It is too easy. Let's take another. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Keith, thank you for waiting. Which one of the three do you go for?
I'm going to have to jump on that bandwagon with you and Frank, man, and go with the Saints. I think, especially with them in the NFC South, all those teams have question marks. Atlanta's a pest, but the Saints come in with such camaraderie, such a veteran squad, elite young talent at all levels of the defense. Offense is getting better. You got Drew Brees, Michael Thomas. And in that SEC West, man, it's so rough. One game, you can be out of the run of getting that SEC.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And look, there's a reason, Keith, that I phrased this, win the SEC and not the national championship. As we well know, Alabama doesn't have to win the SEC to leapfrog you and win the national championship. So one step at a time, right?
Oh, most definitely. And on paper, they evenly match. But at quarterback, they're just a notch ahead of LSU right now.
That's fair, and I think maybe one other area. But thanks for the call, Keith.
You got it, brother.
Coaching. And it's not a big gap. And I'm not just doing it to do it because it's fun or popular, but the gap was bigger at the end of the Les Miles era. This staff, and I don't just mean Coach O, this staff has narrowed the gap on Saban and his staff. But for the last, I don't know, handful of years, it's been a better coaching staff at Alabama. And I still think it might just be because the guy at the top's awfully good, and he's got a machine that's been rolling for quite some time. There might also be a little better depth in Tuscaloosa. But I'm with Keith, by and large. There aren't that many differences on paper coming into this season between LSU and Alabama football. And, you know, to tell you the truth, if I were to rank these three, percentage chance, right, or likelihood, I would say the Saints winning the Super Bowl is the most likely to happen. I would say the Cajuns winning the Sun Belt is the second most likely to happen. And LSU winning the SEC is third in line. And again, that's not poo-pooing LSU's chances. But here's a fact. The Saints can stay as good as they were last year and win the Super Bowl. They don't really have to get better. They just stay healthy at certain positions and, you know, get the right zebra call in the right spot. The Saints can be just as good as they were last year and win the Super Bowl. They don't have to improve. UL, to Clint's point, can stay relatively in the same range they were last year. And if some of the others with new coaches, a la App State, take a step back, the Cajuns don't have to improve that much. But here's the thing. They will in year two under the Billy Napier system. But the world around the Cajuns might allow them to stay in the same realm and win the Sun Belt. LSU has to climb a big, big, tall mountain. And it's got houndstooth at the top of it. You know this. I don't want to start this conversation on May 14 that I know is going to go to the first Saturday in November, but that kind of has to change for everything else to change. We understand that. And so that's why they're ranked third in line. But again, as I told you earlier, they're probably the most improved team of these three. And returning quarterback continuity of the coaching staff is my biggest reason why. All right, another trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, you got to help me out a little bit here, Clint. Who do we have aboard?
We got Dusty.
Let's find him. Dusty, how the heck are you?
Brother Love, all I could say is about this question. The Saints, they in a dog-eat-dog world, and they coming hungry with great vengeance and furious anger. Give me the Saints to win the Super Bowl, but I'm putting all my cards in the deck that all three are going to happen this year.
That would be incredible. In fact, Clint's already laying down a bet right now. He'll streak outside of the 237 Roof Studios if that goes down, Dusty. You may not want that, but it's what's going to happen. Nothing worse than hearing feedback of yourself threatening a naked Clint. And with that, we probably should head into a break. I'll tell you what, we'll give you that big announcement on the other side of this recess. Dusty, sorry about the mental image there. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll paint a nicer picture on the other side on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 1037thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 1037 The Game.
Ten minutes to 5 o'clock. Fired up about what I have to share with you. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D bringing you home on this Tuesday, May the 14th. 10 days from now, May the 24th, Friday, B2BS is going back to Minute Maid Park. Yes. Excited. And I've kind of hinted at this, but let me give you the details that we have now. From 4 until 6:30, live edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports from Minute Maid Park, home of the Houston Astros. Last year, we were there middle of May, and we went because we were excited about the idea of the Astros versus the Rangers, because that, you know, used to be a rivalry. Now the Rangers basically suck. And so we're up in our game, and we're going this year to lead you right into Astros v. Red Sox. Friday, May 24th. The team that knocked Houston out of the playoffs last year. The defending world champions. I'm fired up for this. Look, I'm just giving you tip of the iceberg stuff now. There's plenty more that I'll share over the course of the next week and a half. What I do know is that Reed Ryan, president of baseball operations for the Astros, has said he's happy to come on and do another live interview for my money. That was one of the best interviews we've had in just about 4 years of doing this show, was Reed Ryan. Last year, live from Minute Maid Park. So we're going back this year, and we are taking our friends at Ardco Equipment with us. So it's a B2BS road trip, and I'll do the show next Friday, May the 24th, live from Minute Maid Park, and it's courtesy of Ardco Equipment. Lead you right into Astros v. Red Sox. This is something you need to have on your calendar. And one final note on that subject, we have made a Facebook event for this, 1037 The Game, and we've also put this on our website, 1037thegame.com, not just because, you know, we like those things, and it's fun to say, hey, look, it's digital, but because we're going to populate those pages, those events, with behind-the-scenes videos this time from Minute Maid Park. I got to do a lot of cool stuff last year. This time, you're going to get to see that. Last year, interviewed Will Harris from the first base dugout. Like 2.5-3 hours before the game. We'll see if we can't get you video of that type of thing. The locker room, you know, as much as that's permissible. But mainly just giving you a little bit of an insight into what it's like to be at Minute Maid Park before the lights come on. So we'll put our scheduled guest on that .com story on the Facebook event. We'll put videos there. We'll post our audio after it's done. This is going to be first class, and we need to make sure that you're listening in. Again, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Minute Maid Park, a week from Friday on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and the free mobile app. Boom. All right, let's move it along. I want you to hear from Coach O. He made his last and final stop on the LSU Tiger Tour, the coach's caravan last night in his home area of Houma. And he had some interesting things to say. In particular, how the passing game with Joe Burrow is improving. We'll let Coach O give you the details.
Joe's very smart. We're good with the football. One scrimmage this past spring, we had 80% completion rate. So we get better on offense, we get better throwing the football. Joe's a leader. I think he's having an excellent year.
This may surprise some of you. I said it during the season last fall. I was impressed with some of the incompletions that Joe took. This guy doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. I know, knock on wood. But he knows when to basically reset and live another day. I like that in a quarterback. But if the completion percentage when he is trying to throw to his wideouts is better, that's good. If the combination of that and with Tommy Moffitt, LSU strength and conditioning coordinator told us maybe 2 weeks ago is true, that they're putting pounds on Joe because they want him to become a more effective and consistent runner. If some semblance of both of those is true, the quarterback position for LSU will be as good this year as it was, or it has been, since Zach Mettenberger in 2013. Let's get some more for Coach O before we run out of real estate in hour number one. This is an interesting conversation. Coach O says Joe Burrow is kind of like a quiet Bobby Hebert.
He's a quiet Bobby Hebert. He's tough. The team believes in him. I played with Bobby. We knew Bobby was going to make the play. Joe plays like a linebacker. He's a hard worker. He's in the work first, in the work last. The biggest thing about Joe Burrow is his teammates and his coaches believe in him.
I think you'd always have to be a quieter Bobby Hebert. If you're a louder version of the Cajun Cannon, God bless. We got more from Coach O. Speaking of quarterbacks, how about the backup? What can you tell us about Miles Brennan?
Miles really turned it on in the fourth quarter program. He really grew. He got up to 210 pounds. He became a leader. He was breaking down the team. You can see the excitement in Miles. Miles knows he is going to play this year. He's healthy. He's following Joe. Joe's showing him a lot of stuff. But Miles is talented. He probably has a better arm than Joe, a better release. We'll see what happens.
No possibility at a redshirt. So, sure, he will play this year. How much? That is to be determined. One more from Coach O, and he's been offensive heavy. He stays on his O here, saying that this is what we need to improve upon the most.
Obviously, we went to the spread offense. His ability to change the plays, the line of scrimmage, his ability to keep the ball moving with short passes. We got to get better at intermediate routes and got to get better on third down. The line needs to do a better job of protecting, but we need to get the ball away quick so we don't get as much pressure.
There you have it. We've been to football. We've been to baseball. But we led off with basketball and the NBA draft lottery. With your one final word, I'm heading right back down that path.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Memorable. And a lot of prognosticators suggesting this might just be one of the most memorable NBA drafts in a long time. Not just because of the presence of Zion Williamson at the top, right? We've had these can't-miss guys before. Some of you probably even debate whether or not that is what Zion really is. But here's the thing. It's the first time in a long time that people have speculated the team that wins the top overall pick, that gets the ping pong balls to bounce its way, would trade that selection. Earlier in this hour, Brendan Sur says, no way do you offload somebody like Zion Williamson to have a one-year shot at Anthony Davis. I'm not so certain. A lot of people think that it's possible. Tonight, we'll learn if the Knicks take a step closer toward that potential reality. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up the stomach and tank when you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're halfway home ourselves. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming back with Shea Dixon on 103.7.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of two underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And that would make this Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Taking you home all the way to 6 o'clock today. That's when we send you to Baton Rouge for the pregame show. LSU versus UNO baseball. First pitch for the box is at 6:30. You're about a minute away from Shea Dixon joining the fray. We got to talk LSU recruiting. Yeah, we'll flip the script as well. But a reminder to lead off this hour, 7:30 Central Time tonight on the Mothership, live from Chicago. You can watch the running of the ping pong balls, if you will. It's not the Bulls, but it's still pretty exciting, although the Chicago Bulls might actually be involved. What we know is this. For the first time ever, the top four spots in the draft lottery will be determined tonight. Usually it's been three. They've upped it to four. Can the Pels find a way to get into the top four? What would be better? Can they get into the top three? Well, they've got a 19% chance of doing so, at which point they could get Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, who knows, maybe even trade Anthony Davis in the process. All of that will begin tonight. Again, it's the NBA Draft Lottery at 7:30. Enough of that. That's future talk. Let's get to what's happening right now.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out.
It's time for Shea Dixon of Go 247.
It's Tuesday, and you know what time it is, and that means Shea Dixon is aboard. Welcome back in, my man. How the heck are you?
Hey-o, doing well. Another Tuesday. Love talking to the people of the Acadiana area, so all is well. No complaints, my friend.
And wouldn't you know it, we're going to lead by treating the people to information on one of their own. You had a chance recently to speak with Coach Brent Indes, right? Catholic New Iberia. The Panthers have played in two straight state title games. They won one a couple of years back. And one of their real stars is a 2020 up-and-comer in Louisiana, Trey Amos. What'd you take away from your conversation with Coach Indes on Trey Amos?
Yeah, you know, I was, I'm probably late to the party here because you guys in the area have seen him play a big role. Look, over the past 2 years, they went to the Dome both times. They won 2 years ago. They came up short in December. But this is a program that obviously Brent Indes has got up there with the best of the best in really across Louisiana, right? I mean, they've put together some really good years, and obviously most recently some really phenomenal ones. But I was curious about Trey Amos and my experience with him. Look, you've been around plenty of Catholic New Iberia games. My experience with the Panthers was mostly what they were doing in the playoffs and into the state title game. And it was 2 years ago that Amos was playing corner. And he was a guy as a sophomore, young, but started for a state title team, had a big game in the Superdome, and then he turns around this year and they put him at quarterback, right? And we talked to Peter LeBlanc a ton, and as Indes said, it was the Peter LeBlanc and it was the Trey Amos show, and they sort of carried them as far as they went on offense. But is Trey Amos a college quarterback? No. You know, you saw the offense that they ran. They used him for his legs, but boy, he is a phenomenal athlete. We saw in the first play from scrimmage in that state championship game that they ultimately lost, but he runs like 80 yards up the sideline for a touchdown on the very first touch. A special talent. So I was just curious as to, look, how special is he? And Indes said, look, on the record even, I've had guys who come through this program like Jason Pellerin, who went to Ole Miss. Obviously, a number of guys have gone to UL, Peter LeBlanc most recently. But he said Trey Amos has a chance to be, in terms of upside, the best that the program's had in that stretch and potentially in some time. And Ben, we're talking about a kid who, no, he's not a college quarterback, but he is a college cornerback, CB. And Indes told me that, boy, you can't count on two hands the number of schools that have come through there this offseason and taken a real hard look at him. A bunch of the in-state schools have offered. UL jumped in the mix. But I think we're going to go into the summer months, leaving the spring evaluation period into the summer months. And before his senior year, I think he's going to be sort of firmly entrenched on the recruiting radar with a lot of big schools.
And that's one of my favorite parts, Shay, about this new dual recruiting signing period system that we have. And it's not that coaches wouldn't have known about Amos in the spring 3 or 4 years ago, but now they absolutely better. And so you don't have to wait until the summer, until some of these camps for kids really to blow up. Trey Amos is doing that on his own, and that leads me to a really good topic. It's one of my favorites, Shay. When we enter this summer period, there are so many that see their stock go on the uptick, and they do it themselves. When they go to camps for these colleges, when they play 7-on-7, all kind of different ways that they grow their stock. Give me a few others like Trey Amos that could see theirs grow this summer. We're talking about in-state kids.
Sure. Well, I'll start off with a couple of kids who are highly ranked. I mean, 3- and 4-star kids, top 20 in the state. But I think that they're proving the point you're asking here. And one of them is Coy Moore at Rummel. And it was odd because he only caught about 300 yards last year in terms of receiving. He was playing with a UL signee at quarterback, obviously. They brought in a couple. But you wondered, okay, where was the fall off from what a guy like Jamar Chase was doing in that same offense? He was well over 1,000 yards his senior year. So at 24/7, at least, we kind of backtracked and we said, okay, look, we're going to move him to a high 3-star from a 4-star. And we'd like to see, you know, we saw the production on the field, but we want to see what it looks like off the field. You know, what are we missing if he only was able to get a few hundred yards and a couple touchdowns? And boy, he used the 7-on-7 circuit as well as I've seen anyone in recent years. I mean, he jump to the forefront of every game they played in terms of the topic of conversation of who looked the best. He's a really clean route runner. And I think it made us realize, look, this is a legit four-star kid. I think he's going to have a better senior year than junior year, and that happens often. But I think he's going to be one that really jumps off the page at us and can move his stock even further up. And another kid who really just didn't have a chance yet was Kyle Edwards at Destrehan, who he's got big offers. Look, he's got Notre Dame, Alabama, all these schools have offered him. But it was the John Emery show, and Kyle Edwards played, and Emery was banged up a time or two, and they shared some touches. But now the stage belongs to Kyle Edwards. And Billy Embody, who works with us, went out and saw him recently at their spring practice and thought he looked really good in terms of physically, mentally, where his game's at. The coaching staff is really high on him. So I think his name is one that jumps up there in terms of, okay, is this the best running back in the state? Does Destrehan go back-to-back with having the best running back in the state? I think it's a real conversation to have. And I'll throw you two guys who are a little bit lower off the radar, off the Power Five, at least that kind of upper echelon group. One, I really like Cornelius Dyson. We mentioned Trey Amos. Trey Amos won state in 2A in the long jump. Cornelius Dyson also won a handful of events at the state track meet. I guess it was, a week or two ago now, but he held it down for Kentwood in 1A, as did Trey Palmer. But Dyson was once committed to UL. Now he's committed to Tulane as of last week. We'll see if he doesn't end up looking at some bigger offers or out-of-state offers down the line. But he's a kid that I think is sneaking up on us and making us realize that, as always, Louisiana's a little bit deeper than you originally anticipate, just with so many kids across the state popping up. And another, look, we've talked about him a lot on this show. I'll give you both of them. I think that when you look at quarterbacks, there's one, obviously, at St. Thomas More, who we've talked about a ton on this show, and I think that we'll certainly probably end up playing Power 5 football, but I really, really like Keelon Brown at Zachary. And I've said it time and again, he's a three-star type of guy. He could play at a school maybe like a Virginia or somewhere like that. I think that he's really could play baseball and football and be set, but I'm a little bit higher on Keelon Brown. I'm a good bit higher probably than I was on Lindsey Scott coming out, just because I think he's a dual sport athlete. I've seen him lead these Zachary teams, much like Lindsey Scott did, to really big things, state titles with David Brewerton. But there's just something about Keelon Brown, and I think he's accurate. I think he can run the football as well as anybody in the country from the quarterback spot. And the knock on him is obviously that he's 6 feet tall. You know, he's not a 6'4 quarterback and not a big pocket passer. But if you're a college coach that wants to run a dual threat offense or wants to run your quarterback, you're not going to find many that can run like Keelon Brown and can throw like Keelon Brown. So I just think that he's slept on. I think there's a couple of quarterbacks in the state, even Justin Ibieta over at Country Day, who really doesn't get much attention at all, beat A Meet last year and they won a state title, didn't lose again. And obviously he carried his team in to the state playoffs where Catholic New Iberia and Trey Amos knocked them out in a really kind of contested game that went down to the wire. So there are quarterbacks around the state I really like, but I'll start out with Keelon Brown. I think he's one that everybody gets, talks a lot about T.J. Finley being an LSU quarterback commit, but I really think that Brown's got some upside. And in three years from now, 4 years, I think we'll be hearing about him at a college doing really big things.
We hit the mother load of information from Shea Dixon, go247.com. That was fantastic. We'll let you catch a breather, but then we're coming with another topic. This one felt like an evergreen for a while, and we always could say, well, what's going on in the 318? It's not just LSU territory in North Louisiana. TCU would come in, Ole Miss would come in, but more than anybody else, Alabama was plucking, by and large, what they wanted off of the North Louisiana trees, especially in the Monroe area, maybe not as much Shreveport. I think we have watched that narrative change over the last half decade. At least that's my perception of it. What's yours?
I think it has changed. I think it's probably twofold. At least at a surface level, I don't think that North Louisiana has churned out kind of the high-level prospects that, like, for instance, Neville and West Monroe, these schools haven't been turning out kind of LSU-Bama-type guys at the clip that they were 5 years ago and into a decade ago. So I think that's played a role. And I think it's another thing is something that you touched on already, and I'll elaborate on it a little bit, is these new signing days, and the one being a new signing day in December, sort of expedites your entire evaluation process and your recruiting process and everything that sort of goes into it. And now I think, and especially with Ed Orgeron, they're kind of a no stone left unturned staff right now, and they're studying film on freshmen and handing out offers. And I guess my point is no kids are slipping through the cracks on them up there. At least it doesn't seem that way. So they're able to get in early. And look, I think they're doing things at a time right now where Cam Robinson, Hootie Jones, these guys that all left and went to Bama, they're gone. They're in the NFL. And the current narrative is 318 just sent out a first and second rounder, and which should have been two first rounders probably, and Greedy Williams and Devin White, who both went to LSU. The only guy who didn't that went to high school up there was Jerry Tillery, and he went to Notre Dame and was sort of out of sight, out of mind, right? You're not losing a bunch of guys to Notre Dame. That's not something you're losing sleep over, despite Tillery being a very good player. And then it will move into this next kind of push of Rashard Lawrence, right? He'll be the next Neville guy in North Louisiana that goes presumably high in the first few rounds of the NFL draft, and will certainly be an all-SEC type candidate in his senior year, choosing to come back. And I could sort of go down the list on LSU's roster of a couple of other guys I think that have a chance to make a splash, but that's kind of my gut right now is a combo of we're not seeing, certainly not at the rate South Louisiana puts out high-end FBS prospects, and B, they're doing a really good job of selling kids like Devin White and Greedy and selling Rashard Lawrence and making sure that when those big names do pop up, whether it was the Faraday kids or whether it was landing guys like Davin Cotton out of Evangel a couple years ago, LSU's been able to get in there and flex their muscles and get it done.
Some really, really good points, Shea. The other one that has to be made, and I kind of cheated a little bit because I know that the new battleground has just shifted, right? It's Tangipahoa Parish. So the same thing is happening, just in a different place where the talent is, and maybe next week we'll elaborate on that. We got to hit a quick break. On the other side, it's Shea's questions. We're going to flip the script. Don't forget, at 6 o'clock, we're sending you to Baton Rouge, LSU, UNO baseball. 6 o'clock is your pregame show, 6:30 first pitch from the box. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and one of your most anticipated moments of every week comes up on the other side on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
We're going to do things different.
Can we be just like we were?
We're going to flip the script.
I flip the script.
It's time to flip the script with Shea Dixon on 103.7 The Game.
You know I'll flip.
Oh, the irony that Coach O talks us back in here because we're going to talk LSU basketball. At least that's what I understand. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And you know what it is, Tuesday after 5:15, that means we flip the script with Shea Dixon. Shea, welcome back in. What you got for me today?
My man, yes, after 5:15, now the ball is back in your court. This is where I just sit and hang out. Look, I'll ask you this, because I was asking some buddies this the other day, and varying degrees of opinion. Let's imagine that, and we're going to go under the presumption that Will Wade is going to be LSU's head coach. If nothing happens, that's it. I don't need to explain it anymore. He's going to coach LSU next year. If we're moving under that presumption, and you rewind and tell me this, where did it hurt LSU the most? Or really answer this how you want. You know, how much did this sting LSU sort of as a total core and then individually, but March to now and the suspension? And I guess I'll give you three categories. A, the team and performance on the court, which is missing the tournament and missing the SEC NCAA tournament, which ultimately resulted in them getting to the Sweet 16 and bounced by Michigan State. B, all of the team, basically, minus me, you, and a couple of walk-ons, announced that they were going to go pro. Is it re-recruiting the team kind of back to to the roster, or is it C, or just kind of including recruiting? And it was reported today that on May 20th, Trendon Wadford, the five-star, is going to announce on May 20th, and what that gives LSU, or should give LSU, all signs point to them landing him, their biggest fish in this class, in addition to James Bishop, who signed early. But they miss on Lester Quinones, who went to Memphis, Kadeem Sy, who cut LSU and said basically, I was unsure about the future there. So you know that other coaches, despite Will Wade being in his spot, were in the ears of these kids saying, look, don't go to LSU. You don't know who the coach is going to be there or whatever their dirty recruiting pitches, as it's put, might be. So on-court performance, recruiting the team back or recruiting the high school kids to join the team, between March and May, where did LSU kind of get hurt the most?
I will lead by telling you I don't think all of this is done with Wade yet, but I also understand the way that you're phrasing the question. So, yes, I'll play by these rules, and I'll assume that he is the head coach next year and moving forward. Playing it that way, I think it's B, then C, then A. As far as the level that Wade being out and the hit, quote-unquote, that LSU has taken will hurt the program, all right? And so B, I think, is really the biggest hit they're taking, potentially, and that's in re-recruiting guys that you thought might be back. But here's the thing. Whether Wade was the coach or not, whether they went to the Final Four or did what they did, right, go to the Sweet 16, you were going to lose Naz Reid and you were going to lose Trey Waters. Hard to get a guy to come back for a second time. That's the spot you were with Waters, with Reid. I think he had one and done written all over him. Certainly in his mind, he thought that coming from New Jersey to Baton Rouge. So nothing changed with those two. I do think that with some uncertain terrain ahead, right, maybe some choppy waters, whatever you like, I think that there were reasons that we're now seeing Skylar Mays, Javonte Smart, Emmett Williams, anybody that could, basically, Marlon Taylor, as you mentioned, all these guys are still lingering out there. And there's still a great chance that they get two, maybe three of those guys to come back. I'm willing to bet money that at least one of them doesn't come back. And that person probably won't even get a favorable draft grade, right? It's just, hey, I've done my time here. I want to get out of whatever could be coming still potentially. It's time to go. So anytime you lose four guys that would have been four of your best five or six returning players, that is a crushing blow. And so I'll tell you that that's probably the biggest hit that they've taken with this whole thing. After that, it's recruiting. And there was a time while I guess the FBI trial was still coming up. It's not in the rear view, right? So maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago, where the tea leaves weren't pointing toward Wadford landing at LSU. Now that's kind of reversed a little bit. Hey, that's good news for the program. And it's not going to be a signing class that remotely resembles last year's, but it could still be a really good one. It could still be a great placeholder class if Wadford, about 6 days from now, signs on the dotted line, Shay. So I'll tell you that that's where they were hit the second most. And then A is what you gave me, the run that they made. I hate to keep reminding people of this, but Will Wade wasn't making up 18 points difference going up against Tom Izzo in Michigan State. Sorry. The same team went on to beat Duke a couple of nights later. So I know that this was a special LSU team, and believe me, they were. I know they went 16-2 in the SEC. I don't believe Wade on the sideline helps them. I think the draw, in large part, doomed LSU, right? Knowing that you were going to have to play likely Michigan State and Duke back-to-back. So this was a very good LSU team that had to struggle past Yale, that had to struggle its way past Maryland in the round of 32. I know that LSU played those types of games that sucked toward the middle, right? They either won or lost by close margins. I don't think that Will Wade would have made that much of a difference against Michigan State. So that's why I'm answering A, third and lastly, Shay.
I'm with you, right? I mean, they, I thought that Michigan State was not going to lose that game that day. Will Wade wasn't going to go out there and get them not to shoot lights out from the floor. I guess I'm not surprised that the sort of team's dirty recruited LSU. I am a little surprised that it appears that they're going to get Trendon Wadford, right? I mean, that was the
biggest fish
they wanted.
I kind of am too, Shay. I'm kind of surprised too.
You know, I mean, that was the biggest fish, and they went through all that. He never backed up, you know, he never said, okay, fine, I'm going somewhere else. It was, okay, I'll wait it out. And I think him waiting it out and now setting a decision date made it very clear he wanted to play at LSU. And look, maybe that's a sign of the times, Ben. I mean, if Will Wade is staying, and he's got a kid like Trendon Watford coming in. I think kids probably – Trendon Watford, let's just say that. I think Trendon Watford probably looked at what he was able to do last year with the roster and say, okay, yeah, you lose Naz Reid and Bigby Williams, so you're going to have to find a way to replace what you had down low. But they bring back a lot of talent, especially at the guard spot. And I know Tremont is unbelievable, but Skyler and Javante together, and you've got Trendon out there, and I'm sure they sold him on, look, you could play the three. My guess would be, I guess my long story, long-winded point here made short, is that LSU probably got some chip, you know, a lot of chips into their corner of the poker table here based off of last year and saying, look, we're not promising you that we're going from worst to first anymore. We were first, and now you can come in and just keep the momentum rolling.
And look,
I think it probably takes a little bit more of a, like, Naz Reid took a little bit more of a risk than a guy like Trendon Watford's having to take.
I agree with you, but the biggest thing that Watford to LSU would prove is that Wade's able to sell him that I'm going to be here and that things are okay. So as much as I personally, through conversations I continue to have, believe that this isn't done yet, and it may not be done for 6 months, 12 months. I mean, you don't know with the NC2A. As much as I'm not sure it's done yet, Watford coming aboard is absolutely a positive sign that Wade has been able to show to the kid and his family and those that are around him, I'm going to be around. So, Shea, it's a really good point, and I think re-recruiting at this juncture may be more important than some of the recruiting they're going to have to finalize, even with a guy like Watford.
Yeah, no, I'm with you with your point you made initially, is that the two of you that were invited to the NBA Draft Combine were the two you were always going to lose. So as long as the rest are all back, I think you feel really good about things. Look, well, now that we mentioned NBA Combine, let's wrap up here. The playoffs are continuing tonight, but the two conference finals start. The NBA Draft Lottery is going on. So a lot of NBA buzz. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. I hate the Warriors. I know you were a Thunder man for a long time, still are. I don't really care for really any of the players on their team, to be honest. So give me someone else. And you know I'm a Dame fan, but if it's not the Warriors, who is winning the NBA championship?
I got to be quick here. Clint's pointing toward his watch. If it's not the Warriors, it will be the Raptors. And it shocks me that that's even coming out of my mouth, because I think the Bucks are probably just rightfully going to be favored to win that series. But right now, this is the time of year where the best player is often a guy that can carry a team at least to the finals. Kawhi Leonard, with Kevin Durant on the shelf, looks like the best player going right now. And so I'm going to say if it's not the Warriors, it'll be the Raptors. But here's the inside scoop. It'll be the Warriors.
Thank you for that. Now I'll go put my money down.
There you go. Shea, we appreciate you, man.
To win a dollar.
Yes, go ahead and get that return on investment. We'll talk next Tuesday.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back in. Time for your response. Hate on me. I know I talked to Will Wade again at LSU. And then we'll throw some shade. Isn't it lovely how those two tie together? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easy.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Back in for break more. Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, Clint Domang, taking you home on this Tuesday on 103.7 The Game. Our appreciation, our thanks again to Shade Dixon. We're going to throw shade momentarily, but right now, let's head out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ron, thank you for waiting through the break. What you got for us today?
Thanks for taking the call, Ben. Yeah, I was just listening to your conversation, and I agree with you, and I don't agree with you, but as far as LSU, just the LSU-Michigan State game, I'm not the biggest Will Wade fan, but I think that LSU game with Michigan State maybe would have been the same with LSU losing, but I think it would have been a different game with him on the sideline, because I don't know the guy, but I think his arrogance would have pushed LSU from being that not tentative early in the game. And I was thinking that when I was watching the game, you know, just call and see if you agree with that, huh?
I think there's a decent chance if he's there, he helps stem the tide of what was an avalanche early. So maybe it doesn't get as ugly early. There we can agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Thanks a lot.
You got it, Ron. We appreciate it. You know, it's interesting that you'll probably notice, and this is 100% by design, I'm not bringing that topic up as often on this program. You might have noticed that. Just not going to do it. Because you don't need something shoved down your throat that you probably vehemently disagree with. So I'm not going to do it. But for what it's worth, yeah, you heard me say it there. I don't think the whole situation's done yet. I have no idea when something might go down. I have just heard that it would be foolish to think that it is done because there's a new AD in. In fact, that might point toward the opposite, that there's going to be further exploration and that Scott Woodward will do whatever is in the best interest of the program. But for now, as you heard Shea kind of foretell, and I've heard this too before my conversation with Shea, it looks like the program's in awfully good stead to get Trendon Watford out of the Birmingham, Alabama area. That's a big get. And I know the kid's being sold that he's got a chance to come in and have a Naz Reid type of impact. And more importantly, the ability to come in like Reid and maybe be a one and done. I don't have any doubt, that that is exactly what's on Watford's mind. I don't think he's quite a Reid-level player, but he's probably not too far off that clip either. And so the Tigers, if they are able to land him and they can bring back 2 to 3 of the 4 guys that are still hanging out there, right? Guys that weren't invited to the combine who put their names in but haven't hired an agent. And I do think that's likely, as I told Shea. I think it's pretty likely that 2 or 3, maybe even 3, of those 4 guys come back. And because I know I'll get asked this question, I'll just share my gut feel. No inside info here. My gut feel is that the least likely to return is Javonte Smart. Of those other 4 that include Williams and Mays and, oh, I'm going stupid here, Clint. We just talked about him. I can see his face right now, but you know what I'm talking about. Out of the 4 that left, I would venture a guess that Smart is the least likely to return. So we'll see. But they have a chance if they can return 3 of those guys and they get Watford. We know that James Bishop from the D.C. Baltimore area is coming in. They've got a chance to be a team that's probably between as good as Will Wade's first team at LSU and his second. So between, I know I'm giving you a nice range there, right? Between 9-9 and 16-2 in the SEC. That ain't bad, considering the level of the conference and the way they continue to up the ante when it comes to all the coaches on staff. All right, we'll depart at least momentarily from that topic. Time for your daily reminder. It's a PSA for those locally. Let no one throw shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Home security in 2019, awfully important, even when you're having renovations done. Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings while Todd takes care of the installation of your patio covers and those gorgeous, customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
When it comes to the NBA playoffs, world diplomacy be damned. This is a storyline that is interesting, but I can't believe that it's necessary. Inez Kanter, Turkish-born center, now for the Portland Trail Blazers, formerly of the New York Knicks. Kanter and his Blazers are in the Western Conference Finals. Should they advance to the NBA Finals, there's a chance that they would take on the Toronto Raptors, meaning they would have to play at least 2 games north of the border in Canada. And in advance of that potential outcome, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden is sending a letter to the Canadian Prime Minister. I know, make all the South Park jokes you want, but Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, he's going to be getting a letter, and it's on behalf of Kanter, encouraging safe passage for the Turkish center to Canada for any potential games. I'm not even going to begin to describe the reasons this letter supposedly is necessary, but I'll at least give you this so you have context. Kanter has been an outspoken critic of the current Turkish president. Kanter is aligned with Muslim cleric, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that either. The point is this. Inez Kanter was born in Turkey. He opposes their president. That puts him at an interesting place with having to cross over certain country lines. And because of safety concerns, can't believe this one got passed by radar, but Kanter, who has a green card, didn't travel with the Blazers to play the Raptors in Toronto in early March. Now he might have to, and I can't believe that it takes a letter from the Oregon senator to the Canadian prime minister to try and, I don't know, grease the wheels here. It's how the man makes his livelihood. He's not going there for some kind of coup. He's not going there to march on Toronto. He's going to play in a basketball game between two professional franchises, and he's got a green card. Yes, he had his passport revoked in 2017. So while I understand that there are some delicacies here and some delicate situations going on, I'm having to throw shade today, and I will, at the fact that this is necessary. It's what the man does for a living, and he has a green card, right? And yet, if the Blazers play the Raptors in Toronto, he has to have safe passage secured? Really? I don't think that should be necessary.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
I went to, 8 years of what? Middle / elementary school, 4 years of high school, 4 years of college. I would need to double that 16 years to be able to explain to you the reasons why Inez Kanter is not allowed in certain countries. I still don't understand it, but even reading the article on themothership.com made my head hurt a little bit. But it still baffles me that that is a thing in 2019. All right, we're going to take our final break of the program. When we return, we welcome your calls, just not in the Inez Kanter situation. If you're looking for clarification, write your congressman. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Back in at one final time. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget, when we reach 6 o'clock, Bud Light time for me. But for you, it might be as well, it's a better opportunity to listen to LSU-UNO, final midweek game of the season for the Tigers. We don't have an official starting lineup just yet. We'll try to get that for you before 6. Again, that's the pregame show. First pitch from the box at 6:30. We do know that professional hitter Chris Reed, a senior in his final midweek game at LSU, will be starting at first base. We told you yesterday Cade Beloso with that ankle might not be good to go. That is the case, and Clint can confirm that there is just a tremendously creepy image that Chris Reed has put on the internet commemorating his start at first base. If you are on Twitter, you can go and check it out for yourself. One other thing you can do between now and 6 o'clock, give us a call, especially if you want to go in on the sink or swim question of the day. The number to play, 706-0111. And I'm not sure we've ever quite had it like this before, CD. We've got almost equal parts response on Facebook and Twitter. That alone is weird. But the part I'm really referring to here, we don't often get it to where people and their alliances, are split by medium. On Facebook, everybody is Saint/LSU heavy. On Twitter, at least by the actual responses, not just the voting, everybody is Cajuns heavy. Vince Lombardi time. What the hell is going on out here?
It's very unusual, Ben, especially when you look at the votes. It's almost split, like dead even right now in the votes.
I'll go Facebook first. Brandon R., Saints Super Bowl, LSU national title, then Cajuns. So he gave us a ranking. Tim, Nola won't get another Lombardi. LSU could get a title, and laugh out loud faces at UL. That's just not nice from Tim. And then Ben, not this one, Ben P. has given us a gif of Drew Brees, and Brees in and of himself is a gift, so that's almost rhetorical. Let's go to Twitter. And again, I told you this one was Cajuns heavy. Clint will give you the exact vote breakdown in a moment, but here are two responses. at Cajun Saint 88. Louisiana winning the SBC is the most likely. Second would be Saints winning the Super Bowl. LSU, A&M at Baton Rouge will never win the SEC as long as Saban is running Bama. People just sniping today. Facebook has LSU sniping at UL. Twitter has UL sniping at LSU. And people thought this was One House United. This ain't some damn bumper sticker on a car. This is hatred, people. James on Twitter. Money is on the Cajuns. Until LSU proves they can be competitive with Bama, SEC champ is a dream at this point. And Breeze's arm strength seems to fall off during the end of the season. Plus, with Ingram gone, we really don't know how our running game will look. It should be noted that James, in his avi, has an LSU hat on. So that nod to the Cajuns is part respect and, well, part football knowledge. Cajuns got to the SBC final this year, right? They won the division in year one for Billy Napier. I think it stands to reason a lot of prognosticators, when you whip out that Wendy's, or not Wendy's, shade it myself, that Lindy's magazine in like a month and a half. You think I'm a little hungry? Out here thinking of Wendy's.
I'm getting hungry now just you saying that.
The Lindy's, the Athlon. Thank God no fast food restaurant rhymes with Athlon. But all of those magazines will probably have the Cajuns winning the West if I had to bet. So it's no surprise that a lot of people are on that train. Enough of me and enough of me basically being Homer Simpson and thinking of food. How are they voting on Twitter? Give us the exact breakdown. The question is, which event is most likely this football season? One, Saints winning the Super Bowl. Two, LSU wins the SEC. Three, Cajuns win the Sun Belt.
They're going Saints win the Super Bowl 38%, and right behind them, Cajuns winning the Sun Belt Conference with 37%, and then 25% LSU wins the SEC. So it's pretty much a dead heat at this point.
You've seen Anchorman, correct?
Yes.
Have you seen Anchorman 2?
Yes.
In both, they have Battle Royale scenes. You're familiar?
Yes.
If this city were a Battle Royale, and you had just LSU fans on one side, just Cajun fans on the other, which group would be bigger? Because I know the biggest group of all is people who root for both. I know that. But if you took people who literally were just diehard
like
one side or the other.
Who had to pick a side, yeah.
No, not had to pick a side.
Okay.
Because that's my point. I've done this show for 4 years, and I'm more certain than ever that the biggest percentage of people, if I were to go pie chart on you, bro.
All right.
The biggest percentage of people that live in Acadiana support LSU and UL.
Yep.
Not a doubt in my mind.
I agree with that.
But the smaller portions of the pie that were LSU, and if you're vermilion and white, get off my doorstep or I'm coming out with the shoddy, and vice versa if you're wearing the purple and gold and you're just diehard UL. Which one of those two would be bigger? If there were an Anchorman-style battle royale scene, which one of those get off my doorstep, you other guy groups would be bigger?
I'd probably lean towards LSU, but this poll's showing me otherwise.
Disagree.
Okay.
It would be UL.
All right.
Disagree.
Like I said, this poll's proving me completely wrong on this.
Disagree
but,
with that.
You know, like I said, I'm not surprised.
I think they're more diehard LSU, but still are okay with the Cajuns, even if they wouldn't call themselves out-and-out supporters. There's a decent number of those, but the amount of people that are the not-so-silent minority that are UL, and I'm coming after you with the shoddy if you're wearing purple and gold in my hood, I won't say it's a sizable group, but it's bigger than the other way around.
Exactly. Now that you're putting it that way, I'm agreeing with you.
It's taken 4 years, but I want to change your line of thinking on this.
Okay.
And, you know, depending on how you look at that, that means that the UL group that hates LSU would win the Battle Royale between them and the LSU group that hates UL.
Yeah.
So Brick with the trident would be wearing vermilion and white in this example. Maybe we'd put him like in your cayenne pepper mascot.
That'd be awesome.
Is that coming back, by the way?
My goodness. Where
does that stand?
I have no idea.
You can tell I've got important things to discuss at the tail end of today's show.
Yeah.
Is cayenne pepper coming back, or is that just not coming off the tarmac?
I don't think it is taking flight again. It might be just a whole different mascot entirely. I know this is something I think we talk about every year, or at least is talked about every year. I think the students are going to make a decision on that.
I got to call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
We've been doing the show at Rufino's on the River now for, I don't know what, 4 or 5 straight weeks.
Yeah.
We did one that was back in March, I think, at some point.
So about 6.
Probably 5 or 6 total shows. Probably have tried to get Dr. Brian Maggard on at least 4 of those shows. Yeah. So once we get him, in all respect to UL's AD, he's doing a great job. He's just too busy to come out and do a show like that. I get it. But we will get him out there. He's a good man. And I will ask the Cayenne Pepper question. Because I want to know how we dress up the local Rick Tamlin in this Anchorman Battle Royale scene that we're concocting here. And then all the people who, you know, like me, are good in the hood with both, will just sit on the sideline and eat popcorn while these people beat the ever-living crap out of each other.
Yes.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
But I'm not so sure that you wouldn't be on the UL side and the LSU-hating side. Have you embraced both yet? Are you in this world where it's just comfortable to be okay with both?
I'm comfortable with it. I think it's a lot more so, like, since I've started working here, it's been about 5 years since I've started working here, I've embraced both sides of the table here.
All right, so you would have popcorn, you wouldn't be out there fighting arm-in-arm.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, Anchorman, Battle Royale style with Brick Tamlin.
Yeah.
Local Brick Tamlin.
I would definitely be eating popcorn with you.
All right, okay. That's not a bad place to be. And hopefully this hasn't been a bad place for you to be over the last 2 hours, this segment aside. Brendan, sir, we appreciate you, sir, in the 4 o'clock hour. And Shea Dixon, go247.com, laid it down. If you miss Shea in particular, I suggest you go back and catch that. On demand, 1037thegame.com and the free mobile app. The insight into Trey Amos at Catholic New Iberia and some of the kids who have a chance to really increase their stock during the course of this summer. 2020 prospects in Louisiana, absolutely dynamite from Shea. So I want to thank our guests, all of our callers, the famous Clint D, and those that are forming that battle royale in the streets after I gave you a pretty good idea there. Good luck to you out there. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming up next, UNO at LSU, and you can hear it on 103.7 The Game.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.